Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius Casino Resort. And it's really a pleasure to have Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy with us, Project Camelot. Welcome, both of you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, and Kerry and Bill, you've gone a long ways. What was it, just 1 year ago last night that you did your first interview?
It's 366 days now since we first met.
Now, it's no secret. I heard Kerry on another radio show. Yeah, I listen occasionally. She said, well, I couldn't help myself. I fell in love with the guy.
Well,
okay, guilty as charged.
So, Ryan, you got some charm.
It was a lot of fun. All I ever do is I just talk to people, and I talked to this lovely lady here, and I guess I didn't know what
well,
I was
yeah,
I,
you know, it's kind of interesting. Kerry was talking to me. She said, yeah, I'm going to interview Bill tonight. And the next thing I know, you guys are an item. sitting there with my mouth wide open.
What was really wonderful is that she was a skeptic when she started. You know, so it'd be
skeptic
nice
as far as Serpo is concerned.
And the reason I wanted to mention this, of course, we have links to Project Camelot, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But we originally all got together over Serpo, and it's been running an up and down course. And what do you think about all this after all this time? Ryan, you're the guy that came up with the website.
I think an up-and-down course is a good way to describe it, actually. A rocky road is another way to describe it. Yeah, sure.
I mean, a lot of people always thought, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but a lot of people, and you still get accused of this occasionally, of you being some sort of promoter, developing and getting the idea. It's almost like it's a TV project, and you did it. And that's not exactly how it happened. You just kind of came on the scene and thought they needed the information, right?
I was the guy in the audience who no one had ever seen before or heard before. Yeah. And I stuck my hand up and I said, you know what, this needs to be made available to a wider audience. And I've got a bit of time on my hands, so I build a website. And I had no clue what I was letting myself in for at that point. But I was just a webmaster. And what I chose to do at that point was what I consider I've done. And what I've done is I've presented the information to the world for them to decide, for better or for worse. And the world seems to be divided into a couple of camps. They're the believers and they're the unbelievers. And that looks like the way it's going to stay from here on out.
It doesn't look like anybody could change anybody's mind.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
What do you really think going on there?
What do I think is really going on?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, boy.
I have my ideas.
Talking about the direct question. Okay. What I think is going on is I think it's disinformation. That's not a scoop because I've said that many, many months ago. And I think it was...
Even though they still accuse you, even after you say it, you get emails and people calling you, whatever, saying, why are you spreading this rumor? And you're the one that's saying it's disinformation.
Well, I was the one who said right at the start when I created my homepage on the site back in November 2005 that there are four possibilities, and it's either complete lunacy and the whole thing's a hoax and it's being invented by some kid in a basement, or there's some truth behind it, or... I can't even remember what the four possibilities are, but the last possibility is that even if there's a chance that a majority of this is true, that some of it is true, we have to get the information out there because it's so potentially important, it shouldn't be censored. And that, of course, is true for an awful lot of the claims in ufology. And in the interview that we talked about just now, when Kerry put me in front of the camera a year ago to the day, she said, are you an advocate of the story? And I said, no, I'm not an advocate of the story. I'm an advocate of people being willing to suspend their disbelief for long enough to consider whether the story may have merit, or words to that effect. And that's been my position throughout. Because I'm a very open-minded guy, if a lot of people start coming at me saying, no, this is complete 100% nonsense, then I'm going to say, well, actually, have you thought of this, and have you thought of this, and have you thought of this? If somebody came at me to say, you know what, I think this is all true to the letter, then I'd say, well, actually, I'm not quite so sure about that, because there's this and this and this that don't make sense.
So it's
disinformation. There are some natural errors, I believe, have compounded in there, and I'm not going to elaborate at great length because I've done this in other interviews, which makes it look like disinformation, but they're probably natural mistakes. But there is a core of truth there. I'm certain that there was an exchange program. As I've said a number of times, given the premises of alien visitation and communication having been established, it would have been extraordinary if they hadn't invited us back to their place. I'm sure that an exchange program has occurred, and also I think it would be extraordinary if there was just one. And so if this whole Serpo website has done one thing, it's established the concept, or the currency, if you like, of the idea of an exchange program in the vocabulary of ufologists. So now they've got something else to argue about from here on out. And because I would be staggered if any other information came out at this point, I'm sure that it's dead as far as information releases are concerned. We'll probably never know the truth. The intelligence community are behind it, meaning behind the curtains, pulling the puppet strings in all kinds of complicated ways. It's being discussed a million times over. And so it's time for me to step out of this now.
So literally you're going to not be following Serpo anymore?
I'm not going to be the Serpo guy anymore.
Okay.
I'm not going to be the Serpo guy.
So what you're saying is you're going to be stepping down from the website, let someone else take it over, turning it over to, if there are new releases, letting them come through Victor alone.
I would be delighted for someone else to take it on. And one of the reasons for that is because 95% of my attention in the last 6 months or so has been entirely on Project Camelot, which is what I really want to talk about.
And we're going to get into that. You've done some wonderful things. But a final thing on Serpo is you don't have anybody in mind for taking this over.
No, absolutely not.
Although we have considered possibly the Open Minds Forum.
And they've been involved in it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a poison chalice in some ways. I'm not sure if I would foist Serpo on my worst enemy as a cross for them to bear. But now there are various ways to go with this, and I'm not at all sure what to do. I could lock the site and let someone start a new one. I could hand over the whole thing to somebody else on the basis that they, you know, that there are certain things that I have written about myself, for instance, that aren't changed. There are a whole bunch of ways to play it, and I think we'll see what happens. But essentially, I'm not going to be the Serpo guy anymore. I've got a lot of other things to do in my life, and every day is too short for everything which I have to do anyway.
Now, Kerry Cassidy, when you interviewed this guy last year, 366 days now, time this plays on Monday, it'll be 369 or 370. Did you have any idea that you guys would end up being really, I think, the top people around as far as journalists are concerned about getting people to be, frankly, whistleblowers and tell the true story?
No, little did I know. Actually, we spent a month after I interviewed him corresponding, so it wasn't an overnight kind of thing. But
then he didn't have quite as much charm as I thought, but he was at night.
Well, he also went back to England, and I was in California, so there's kind of a distance there. But ultimately, we did get together, and we turned to each other at the time and said, what is it we can do? Because we figured we both had skill sets that we could bring together to do something something really obvious.
I remember,
a filmmaker.
I remember it out there at Giant Rock in California when made the announcement to me that you're going to start Project Camelot. I thought, hey, that's a great idea, but you guys have really been going full speed with it. It's really developing fast.
Well, right. We've, you know, in some ways we feel that we are gifted and we are being helped by some unseen hands, one of which is yours, Jerry.
unseen hands from government sources and real people
extraterrestrials? Well, actually,
or the angels or what?
Well, what does one know when good things happen one right after the other? We have been very, very lucky with the contacts we've made and with the people that have come to us with their stories and continue to do so. We've also had some wonderful people to interview. They've also come forward to us in a way that I think is maybe somewhat unique. I know that our approach is a little different than the normal researcher. We are actually putting a camera in front of people and asking them to tell the story in their own words, and we give them a lot of room to do that. So I do think that helps. But we've gotten a really positive response to our work.
Now, you, one of the people that you worked with and exposed, as far as I knew, it was Ralph Ring. You've really given him a platform. And, in fact, from that performance on Project Camelot and the interviews that we linked to as well on our websites, Ralph was asked by the UFO Congress to be on the speakers program. Now, Bill was here last year as a speaker.
Yes, that's right. Ralph is a wonderful, wonderful speaker, and for me, this is its own reward. People ask why we do this. He got a couple of standing ovations. He's been asked to talk in the San Francisco conference. He's been invited to Hawaii. He's been invited to go somewhere else where I can't even remember. The guy is completely made up. Now that story is out. We're also getting people writing to us all the time. We've got somebody who wrote to us just a few days ago. We haven't even put this one together yet, who said that he knew Otis Carr. He worked with his associates. He was personal.
Otis Carr, of course, was Ralph's partner.
Yeah. And what happens is the snowball keeps on rolling, that as our profile increases through small public presentations like this, but increasingly more and more over time. We have people writing to us with incredible stories. The experience that we have, just as Kerry was describing, it's like we just start running towards a blank wall and then a door appears and then we just go straight through it. And it's just like there's a sense of unimpeded progress. And a lot of people have asked us, well, this is incredible. How come you have access to all these people? People who've been in the field for 20 years and they haven't got access to some of these people. And we can't account for that. We cannot account for that. It's just that experience that, as I was saying, we just walk towards a blank wall and a door appears and it opens in front of us and then we just keep on going. And we have no idea where this is going in terms of where we'll be in a year's time.
I've been very impressed with some of the people you've come up with, and
I pride myself
in finding people, and you guys have really found some pretty interesting people that I didn't know about.
Well, we just interviewed Clifford Stone, and he's actually a well-known person in the ufology area.
We just put a show up with Clifford here a while back on our Roswell series.
So, but it was a wonderful thing that he did grant us, several hours of his time, and it's some pretty dynamite material. When you get a person on film where you're actually seeing their face as they're making testimony to all sorts of incredible occurrences, you can look in that person's eyes and listen to the sound of their voice, and you basically really get a sense of whether they're telling the truth or not. And that's really valuable.
What sort of whistleblowers and unique people are you looking for with Project Camelot? I mean, what kind of stories?
This is a very good question, because we've been feeling our way over the last few months, and we're starting to feel focused now on goals that are a little bit more clear for us. And one of the things that has informed that for us has actually been SERPO, because SERPO is endlessly fascinating. In fact, you can get lost in it. It's consumed people's lives, this whole thing. I mean, in the sense that...
Well, you're right. I mean,
there are people out there who do nothing but work to try and argue its case, and there are other people who get up in the morning and they do nothing but try and debunk it using any means possible. And it's like, why do people get so excited about something that happened over 40 years ago, where it probably, although it's significant in the sense that we're talking about a dramatic reality of alien-human contact, it doesn't really have much to do with what the next few years may be bringing for us as a human race. And what we want to start to move to on Camelot is looking more and more at stories and information that's presented to us, information that's brought to us, that helps us understand and deal with what it is that we're headed for as a human race. And so we want to be less historical and more forward-looking, if we possibly can.
We're talking with Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. And we're going to follow up some of the things they're working on Project Camelot. And I want to talk to them about big game hunting. Don't go away.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
This didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.
This is Jerry Pippin, and we have Gary Cassidy and Bill Ryan. How about billing? Should it be Bill Ryan and Gary Cassidy? No, I don't want to start. You got to get, guys got a beautiful friendship going here. I don't want to get it. Hung
ladies
up on
first.
Marquee
ladies
power,
first.
Right? You did go to Africa though in Big Game Hunt, right?
Oh yeah, and we've actually released on the web a cheetah hunt in which we filmed a cheetah killing a gazelle and stalking it, and actually with the help of a friendly local fox that sort of herded the prey right into the way of the cheetah. So we literally did go to Africa. Actually, we've been there twice, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. Now, when you go to the same lodge or spot, or what do you do there? I mean, it's not like I don't know. I haven't been big game hunting. Just show up and pitch a camp.
We only hunt with a camera, so.
Okay, I understand that. I want to make that plain.
Yeah.
Carrie, had you been interested in this before you met Bill?
Interested in which?
Going
big
out
game
to the jungle
or?
And taking pictures of.
Well, I mean, I am a filmmaker, so of course using the camera is always something that I'm going to do regardless of where I am. But I had been very much an avid traveler regardless before I met Bill. Actually, it's one of our big loves that we came together, and not only did we have the sort of background in the sort of ET and ufology and conspiracy area, but we shared a love of Africa and of travel. So it's been a really wonderful thing to share.
I want to say one thing to our audience here. These people are dedicated by getting the story out. I think you drove all around Birmingham, England one night in your car looking for a Wi-Fi connection to get us a story. And
that,
that
was the Gary McKinnon interview. And, yes, we were uploading it and had to find an Apple a wireless connection to do so in the middle of the night. Actually, it was at 4 in the morning.
And what about Gary McKinnon? I just heard from Janice's mother recently. What's the latest that you hear?
I believe they're still trying to extradite him.
That's true.
And there are proceedings underway. We recently put Sean David Morton in touch with them. He has a contact who has some information about the case being made against Gary. And then we also have Gordon Novell, which is one of our sort of infamous interviews that went very well, and Gordon has now stepped up to the plate, and he has offered his services to Gary McKinnon as well to defend him should the opportunity arise if he is indeed extradited to the United States.
Now, you guys are perfect for the internet because you cover the entire world, and you've been out traveling the world. And I'm sure you'll be making a few trips this year as well to different places. And really, in today's world, the story's just not in California or in Las Vegas. It's everywhere. On the ET subject, have either one of you had a sighting or a contact or something? I mean, why are you interested in this subject?
Well,
especially Ryan. He shows up from England, and all of a sudden he seems to know all about all this stuff.
As if people in England don't know anything about all this stuff. Yes, exactly. Well, my story, I guess, is exemplified by when I was 8 years old when I was a kid in school, and we had to write a story, I remember. Our teachers wanted us to write a story.
Mm-hmm.
And people were writing story about their pussycat or their puppy dog or their day on the beach or something, and I wanted to write. Now, I don't know why, but I remember I wanted to write about ghosts and flying saucers, and my teacher would not let me.
Oh, really?
I had to write about my pussycat instead. They wouldn't let me write it. And this was my first experience of authoritarian censorship of speaking the truth when I was a little kid, 8 years old,
so,
and I guess.
So now it's a mission in life.
And exactly, so now I'm trying to get my own back.
As they say, and there's a lot of people have in the UFO community say it's a life-changing experience, mm-hmm. and it was for you. you and you hadn't seen anything yet.
No. I can't account for this day why I so passionately wanted to write about that subject when I was 8 years old, but I must have heard something about it on television or from in a picture book or something, and I must have become captivated by the topic.
Carrie and Bill, I have a lot of the same symptoms that some of these people that are abducted have had. And I've never thought that there was really an abduction. I just figured I was a creative guy with a lot of ideas and wild imagination. And I'm always, and I kind of bend toward the, for lack of a better term, the terrifying. And so why wouldn't my dreams be that way? You know.
Well, Jerry, it sounds like we should be interviewing you a little more. And we did actually interview you once.
Yes, you did. And I get a lot of people commenting about that a lot.
It's a wonderful interview. And we actually, if you remember, we started to get an audience there. People were so interested, they came into the auditorium where we were shooting the interview.
Yeah, and that was out in California.
And they started to sit down, and they were fascinated.
And folks, you talked about Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy and their ability to get unusual, unique guests and interviews. And I'm going to have to tell you the truth, folks. I've never had Mr. X on the air if it hadn't been for you two.
Well,
confession time is here.
And why is that?
Well, because Bill Ryan set it up for me. He asked me,
okay.
Said, if you'd like like to talk to this fellow, and he went into detail about it. And
actually, Mr. X contacted Bill on the SERPO website via the contact form originally.
See, and it goes back to the top of the show when we were talking about SERPO, and if you felt like it was a lost cause, it's not at all, because a lot of people contact you about other subjects all the time.
Yeah. I had so many messages coming in during those early months, and this was one of the things that inspired the whole idea of Camelot, because I had people talking to me in confidence. Mr. X is the best known of those, but I had a number of others too, and they all were sharing stories that they said they had kept to themselves, they'd never told anybody else in all their lives, and they wanted to tell me. And presumably it was because they felt that I was sufficiently open-minded that I put the SERPO side up in the first place, and so they thought, well, maybe he'll believe my story, in the sense that they were worried about being believed, some of them with legitimate reasons for that.
Yeah. Now we did ask you, Bill. We got to ask Carrie. She hung around Hollywood there. You just got interested in ETs because it's a good subject for movies, or what?
No, I admit I have a background of what are sort of. I haven't actually explored them, but I have had abduction or contact scenarios in my childhood. And I also have recently, prior to the time when I interviewed Bill, I had been shooting a UFO documentary. And what I was asking researchers like Rich Dolan and Steve Bassett and Peter Robbins and Jim Mars is, have you seen a UFO, just as you're asking me, Jerry? And I started that out because I've seen UFOs in my life, and I actually photographed them the fall of 2005 with my own camera out on the beach in Malibu.
That's the same time I saw my first one.
So oh, that's wonderful.
In Phoenix, while doing a show on the Phoenix Lights. We're standing by the Twin Peaks, and out comes a flying triangle while we're doing the show.
And do you have a picture?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I'd like to see your pictures. We'll meet and we'll compare pictures.
All right.
Yeah. Bill, how about you? Have you seen any ETs?
I
moved the subject from UFOs
very
to ETs.
nothing that I could have taken a photograph of.
Okay.
I've had one or two strange experiences, that's for sure, and that's probably for a completely different conversation. But nothing solid, nothing that I could have taken a photograph of, and I've never seen any.
You guys do things besides extraterrestrial and paranormal investigations, even though there's elements of that, like in... you did a recent interview on MK Ultra in that experience. Can we look forward to more of those type of subjects coming up with Project Camelot, or, in other words, are we getting more toward conspiracies, or will it always be UFO and paranormal related? I mean, we haven't been able to put you in a box, just like me. I have a big variety of shows, and It looks like you guys are going that way, too.
Yeah, we have no intention of going into a box. Yeah. Actually, what we like to do is break out of the box, and every time there is a box, we like to break out of that one. So we don't expect to be categorized, although, like Bill said, we have decided to look towards the future. We are interested in having futurists. We're interested in psychics and intuitives, looking towards 2012, preparing people for what some of the events that may be happening, why they may be happening. We're in touch with Richard Hoagland. We're thinking of possibly shooting a documentary on the subject, bringing into bear a lot of the theories about scientifically what's going on in our solar system and outside of it that would be causing some of the global changes that are going to begin to happen, solar changes that are going to affect the planet. We're very interested in all of this.
And when you do all of these interviews, they, of course, are there at Project Camelot. We have them on our website as well, or most of them, not all of them. You do have a few exclusives of your own, which I don't blame you. I'd keep that, too. But we are glad that you've shared with us over the months and years, and look forward to a continuing relationship, that's for sure. When we talk about these things, and a lot of people say, well, I'd like to have a real hard copy of that, a DVD. You're not selling those, correct?
We are going to be making
DVDs. We have a few on our website, the interviews you've done, that we're selling for you.
Yeah. We're going to be making DVDs of the interviews which we feel are likely to be most in demand. And what we are also going to be doing is on CD, we're just going to be copying our download quality files onto those. So for people who don't have broadband access, they can just take the CD and then just copy the files onto their own disk. And we're going to be selling those for $25. If anybody wants one of those, they can place a pre-order to us by sending us a blank email with the subject CD to our email address, which is support@projectcamelot.org.
We have a link to that, and then they can see how to get to it. That's just email it, put it in the, what do you put in the subject line?
In the subject line, CD, a blank email.
Okay.
Then we know who to get back to when the CDs are ready. Then we'll ask them for their mailing address, and then we'll sort the whole thing out with a PayPal contribution of $25. And that way we can get the information out.
Because a lot of people want a hard copy they can save or whatever. Don't you get a lot of people asking you about that? I do.
Yeah, we do. And actually, we are very slow on getting our DVDs out there. We just completed, because we do everything ourselves, there's only two of us, and it's all out of our own pocket. So all the editing chores take quite a while. We still have several interviews that we have not edited, and we need to get out there. So in many ways, that takes precedence. Everything is available for free on the web at this point.
I know. Tell me about it. You do these shows. It's trouble shooting it as far as time and getting there.
Right.
But then you got to get the product polished up and get it out.
And that takes a while. That's the real work.
Yeah.
And there's an enormous amount of work in the background. People think, Jerry, I'm quite sure, that in a job like yours, you just spend a few hours a week talking on the radio.
Yeah,
and the rest
kind
of the
show
time
up
you
here.
Just kind of hang around in your bathrobe, you know,
right,
with your feet
right,
up. You
right,
know.
Right.
And you understand that
Well, I do. I'm waiting for somebody to knock on the door. Hello. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. A lot of people do think that. They don't understand how hard the job is. And I know, Carrie, on one thing you were getting out recently, Carrie, you were up early in the morning while Bill is in England, early in the morning emailing me, we're working on this, at 11 or 12 at night. She says, I've almost got it finished. And a lot of people say, wow, but it does take time. Our shows, I don't know what, you're doing video, so it's even more complicated, but it takes about 6 hours for an hour show if you do it right. Time you...
Well, actually, video editing takes several days of pretty intensive, over 8 hours a day editing to get it out there.
But the other thing that Carrie told me just a little while ago, and I couldn't agree with her more, is that she said, you know, I've never worked as hard as this in all my life, and I'm not even getting paid.
Yeah, right.
And it really is a full-time job. We work probably 10, 12-hour days. We work pretty hard. There's a huge amount of communication. There's an enormous amount of networking. that needs to be done. There's a lot of administration. Basically, what we're doing is we're creating a business without any financial background to it, but we've got a customer base and we've got products that we need to get out there. We're increasing, we have a goal, we have a mission, we're increasing our public profile.
I kind of equate it to selling a car. Only we have the showroom and we show it, but we got to build it first. you know.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully not a used car, Jerry.
Hey, have I got a deal for you? Hey, Sean David Morton is up next. I've enjoyed it, and
thank you, Jerry.
Once again, you're going to make that little announcement for Serpro again, so we understand clearly what's happening here.
Clearly, what's happening here is that
when you come to Serpro, you can't be too careful about what you're explaining.
You've got to say it very clear. You've probably got to say it at least twice with witnesses at the same time. And I do not believe that we're going to get any more information from the powers that be about Serpro. I do not believe we're going to get any photographs. I look forward to being surprised, but I'm not going to hold my breath. And in the meantime, my time, as I was just saying now, it's so full. I've got so much on my plate, and I know exactly what I'm committed to, which is a lot of forward-looking stuff. Serpro is endlessly fascinating. It's also a labyrinth that people can get lost in, and I want to hand it over now for somebody else to pick up those reins should there be any more releases.
Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy, look forward to working with you all the rest of this year and for many years to come. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, Jerry. Thank you so much for all your support, and to Larry Dickin as well.
That's right. He's the unsung hero. We just leave him back here in Secaucus, and he gets up and works till midnight. He passes out and gets back up and starts working.
And special thanks to Roberta and the rest of your team, because they're all really stellar people.
And Roberta, so you got a little credit there, kid. Roberta Scott, our location producer. We'll be back with Sean David Morton next. Don't go away.
Biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD anytime. Anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.